Good morning. We're here with Robin Blessing with Life on Wheels, and I don't think anybody's joined us via Zoom yet, but we can go ahead and get started. We have a couple of people come in. So yeah, I'm just going to let you take the floor. We're going to ask some questions if, you know, something comes up. But why don't you tell us a little bit about you and then kind of where you are now with Life on Wheels? I know a lot's changed.
Yes, a lot has changed, but it's for the best. My name is Robin Blessing. I've been married for 42 years, I think. I have two sons who will be 40 and 31, and they both live out of town. No grandchildren, so this is like my baby year. And I go to Fraser, which is now a Free Methodist Church, and so thankful they just had us sign the covenant. And it has a big part in there about believing for life, which was not part of the Methodist book of discipline to start with. And so I'm glad I didn't have to change churches. And I'm really, really thrilled with that. Anyway, Life on Wheels, y'all have supported us from the very beginning, and Price Bishop is the vice president of our board and has been so supportive. Y'all have prayed for us from the beginning, and I'll tell you what, Claude comes by the bus and prays for us, you know, and it's really the heart of what we do. Y'all financially support us and so appreciate it, but man, we need prayer all the time. As some of y'all know, Bubba especially, we've been out on the lot since 2017, the lot right across from the abortion clinic on South Perry Street. Is where we have parked. When we first started, we did not own that lot. We used to park on the street, and the pro-aborts across the street would kind of block us and put cars in different places. So, they thought they couldn't get us in, but we got some awesome drivers. They could get in there. But eventually, one of our board members, Ed Gannon, who I think also used to go here, Ed's commercial real estate, and he got some business people together, just people, and they purchased that lot across the street. And it's 2.2 acres, and they got it for like $38,000. I mean, because nobody wants a lot across from the abortion clinic, you know. It's almost the whole entire block. Only the little daycare on the corner is the part that we don't own. So that gave us the ability to park on the lot, and then Price worked it out so that we could have an electric hookup so we could plug in our generator and our plug in our bus and not run the generator. And so we've been out there on Mondays and Tuesdays since 2017. We started December 27th of 2016. And we were there those days because those were the days that the abortion clinic did ultrasounds. And so our goal was to give them some competition, and we surely did. It's easy with those free, free, free signs. And free pregnancy test, free ultrasound, free, you know, as they're going in. And then there's a stop sign. The great thing is that street that the abortion clinic is on is a one-way street. So they have to come around and go by us to get into the parking lot. And so we had ladies out on the street called street advocates wearing safety vests and holding clipboards. It's amazing how looking official will make people stop. Nice ladies just waving cards, and they say, here, let's give you a coupon. And it says free ultrasound, $150 value, because that's what the abortion clinic was charging. And so we got a lot of ladies on the bus. Last year, in 10 months, they walked 126 ladies across the street to us, you know, rather than going to the abortion clinic. So just those 2 days of the week we were there, we used to be there 5 days a week, but we noticed that when they weren't doing abortions, it was, or when they weren't doing that, what they call pre-ops, it was pretty dead over there. So we started going around the city, and we have 8 different locations that we go to now. God has given us such favor. On Monday afternoons, is this what you want to hear?
Yeah.
On Monday afternoon, we go to the abortion. We still go, even though the abortion clinic is closed, we're going there on Mondays and Tuesdays because we've been there for 5 years and people look for us. On this past Monday, by 9:30, there was a lady on the bus and 4 waiting. It's been so busy. And so they know how to find us there. And then on Monday afternoons, we go to Atlanta Highway, where Faulkner University owns that property where Hardee's and DMV and all that is, you know. And so they told us, I was able, God just opened the door. And I was able to speak to the staff and all the kids. Yeah, at Faulkner. And I went to a Civitan with 10 people, a luncheon, and spoke to them. And one of them was with HR, with Faulkner. And she invited me to come speak to the HR people at Christmas. Then they had me come speak to the staff, which filled up this auditorium. And then I spoke to the whole student body maybe about 2-3 months ago. So it's just amazing how God opens doors. And they said, you can park in our property. So we park on that curb in between that Mexican restaurant and that Roots, you know. And we're there on Tuesday afternoons after we leave the abortion clinic. We go to Eastbrook Shopping Center, and we park right there on Coliseum Boulevard. See a lot of people there. It's a very busy street. And we have extended our hours, and we're open till 7 that day. So we're open from 8 to 7 because, you know, a lot of clients. And our clients are not necessarily unemployed. You know, they work. So, you know, if you get off at 5, when are you going to come see us? So we're extending hours to reach more. On Wednesdays, we collaborate with Elmore County Pregnancy Center in Wetumpka in the morning and Mary's Haven in the afternoon in Prattville. And what we do is they are not medical, so we do their ultrasounds for their clients. And so they will do the pregnancy testing usually. Then they bring them on the bus. We do all the rest of it, including sharing the gospel, and meet a lot of abortion-minded women that way. Then on Thursdays, we go to Ask Telemarketing, because Rick Burley owns Ask on Carmichael Road, and Dr. Phillips' brother, you all know Dr. Phillips is the medical director, his brother Clay owns the building where they give us an office. We have an office, and that's where we also park our Montgomery bus. It's behind gates and in the back. And anyway, he used to be the district attorney. Now he's an attorney on his own. And he said that area right there in Carmichael Road is the number one sex trafficking area in Montgomery. Because those hotels at Sundown.
Right. Is that
Carmichael?
Yeah, the Southern Bypass.
No, it's on the east.
Eastern Bypass.
Eastern Bypass. That coming around.
Well, that whole street. Because, see, that used to be a open up.
It's across from the other. Well,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I see what you mean. Anyway, he said that whole street. And so we park there, and yes, we do meet. We meet all kinds of women. The thing is that the women that we meet that are sex trafficked are not necessarily wanting out of it. And we have great connections with Montgomery Police, and we even have the name and number of the detective that handles this. It's a female. But unless they want out, we met this girl first at Cope. I'll get to Cope in a minute. But we met her on Madison Avenue when she was 14, and she was being sex trafficked. And then the next time we met her, she was 16, over at Ask, you know. So we're there till 7 at night. We're there from 10 to 7, and Rick Burley has been so gracious. We just park right up by the street. And I think the first clients we saw were people from his that work with them because, you know, we just don't see women who want abortions. We see women who just want to see their baby and haven't been to the doctor yet, you know. So we see all kinds of clients. So that's Thursday. Then Friday mornings, we used to go to the lot, or on Thursday mornings and Friday mornings, whichever they were doing abortions, we would go out there, and then we would go do our, you know, take the bus wherever we were going. On Fridays, we go to Madison Avenue, which is, we're actually helping Cope, which is the pregnancy center on Madison Avenue. It's supported by the Catholics, but, I mean, everybody goes there. It's really, they see 3,500 clients a year in that little house on the corner of Madison Avenue. And they're not medical, so we do their ultrasounds for them. They weren't even open last Friday, and we saw 9 clients there. And so it's women are coming, it's busy. And I had, actually, I don't know if Tommy would mind this, but Tommy McKinnon, because Baptist supports us, sent me an email. And he said, Robin, you know, with all that's happened with Roe, if it turns out that you don't need all your mobile units, we might be interested in purchasing one, because they ordered one. I think they came and looked at our brand new one when we got it a couple of years ago. They're going to do some kind of cancer testing, you know, on one. And it hasn't come yet because of the supply chain. And I was like, we're not getting rid of anything. We probably need to get some more, you know, as busy as we've been. But, yeah. We didn't know how it would be when Roe was overturned, but we had a feeling we'd see a lot more women. And that's certainly what's happening. It's happening here and it's happening in Birmingham. We want to be there for these women. There's so much misunderstanding and misinformation and fear-mongering out there. I just saw President Biden on TV passing some kind of law about how if a woman's life was at stake, you know, he was saying the states must comply and must, you know, do an abortion. I was like, I don't know of any state that has a law that says you can't have one with the woman's life. I mean, that's just a moot point. I mean, why even bring that up? Just act like it's something new. It's not new.
He's not the smartest person.
Well, we need to pray for those who are authority over us, I think, for sure.
We're saying the same thing. You know, ectopic pregnancy. Oh, no, you can't.
That's crazy.
She has to understand. I mean, she can't be that.
They just want to lie. It's just lies.
They want to lie.
And scare women.
Exactly.
I have one of my, Michelle Willis, who is the director of Elmore County Pregnancy Center, who we work with, like I said, every Wednesday. She called me and she sent me a text. She said, Robin, what are you doing about all these lies about miscarriage? And I didn't know about it. I hadn't seen it. So I texted Dana, the head of our sonographers. She said, oh yeah, everywhere they're saying that if you have a miscarriage, don't go to the hospital because they're going to arrest you. That's another lie. Women are never charged. And see, more often than you would think, we find ectopic pregnancies. That's something. And you have to send them immediately to the hospital because they'll die, And so we're actually, helping women and finding them. And one other thing that we started doing is we started really, really promoting on TikTok and Instagram, abortion pill recovery, referrals. Reversals. Let me see. We call it APR. So I guess it's abortion pill reversal, and we do referrals. And so we have two doctors. We have Dr. Phillips here in Montgomery, and then Dr. Lance Radville in Birmingham, who have taken the protocols and said, "Yeah, if you send us someone, we will." So we haven't. I think Dr. Phillips has only seen one here. The problem with that is that they have to get with you within 24 to 48 hours after they've taken that pill, or they're still going to.
Is it only the first pill or even the second pill?
Now you're above my pay grade. I'm sorry. I know the second one is really the worst, but the first, I'm not sure.
That's me.
No, Plan B is like, they're using that like birth control kind of.
That's the morning after.
I didn't realize there was a difference. Can she explain that to us and how scary the abortion pill is and the misinformation and what people are going to deal with if all three at home?
I can tell you a story, but let me just tell you this one. So the abortion pill is different from Plan B. And, I used to work at Baptist. That's how I met Dr. Phillips. I was a secretary, not a nurse. But when a woman would come in with what they called a fetal demise, the baby had died. And you're going to have to deliver it. See, that's the thing. I don't know. No baby is going to disappear on its own. You have to deliver it one way or the other. And so when they came in, they would put them down at the hall, room 17, away from everybody else who's happy, happy, happy babies. And when they gave them that medicine, they did an epidural on them because you're putting your body in labor. And, I mean, who wants to be in labor in their own home with no medicine, no help, no nothing? And we actually had a Hispanic lady in Birmingham that came from Montgomery, and she had taken them. She got the pills from Planned Parenthood there, took them, went home. I don't know what these women think. They don't know what's going to happen to them. Delivered the baby and brought it back to us in a box. Yeah. Brought it back to us on the bus in a box. So we call St. Bede's because she didn't speak English, and called St. Bede's. Father Alex talked to her, and they buried the baby at Greenwood. You know, the Catholics have a place there, where they buried the baby. But she was hysterical. And I guess so. She wasn't prepared at all for what was going to happen to her. But back to Dr. Radville in Birmingham, we had a lady who came to us who'd gotten the abortion pill in I believe in Tuscaloosa. She went to Tuscaloosa and got it, and she changed her mind. So we got her to Dr. Radville. When by the time she got to Dr. Radville, it was too late. She had already miscarried. However, she had another pregnancy, an ectopic pregnancy. This is so rare that this happens. Mm. And she was pregnant in two places, you know, really, you know, in her uterus and in the tube. And she would have died. And, you know, before they gave her that pill, they had to have done an ultrasound. So did nobody look at that, you know? And it really, she called us and said that that saved her life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot of stuff going on, just a lot. But we are seeing a lot of clients. Our volunteers are wonderful. I mean, we have volunteers who have been with us for 5 years, and they are really amazingly wonderful women. And the men who drive us, because I just told you how many places we go. I think I've got 14 drivers in Montgomery and 12 in Birmingham. Mm. And they're all volunteers, and everybody, I mean, just pitches in. Like yesterday, we used 3 different drivers. One to take us, one to change us at noon, and one to bring us home. But it's a great way to involve men in the ministry, you know, because it's all women on the bus. And so, and they are, our guys are just wonderful, and they're advocates for us, you know, and so, It's just such a blessing to work with this ministry. I mean, I have people tell me, thank you for what you do. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm so blessed to do this. I feel so blessed.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all saw this. Did y'all see the end of the year review? We're doing our mid-year review now. We mailed these out, but, you know, who knows what y'all see and if it gets to you. And also, I brought you each a little present.
Wow.
Yes, isn't that box amazing? And would you please give one to Alan, please?
Thank you.
This one, when you're praying for us and, you know, you have it with you, it reminds you of who we are and what we do.
Walk us through someone coming on the bus and, you know, whether they understand exactly what your mission is. How do you walk them through becoming an abortion, or I mean, not abortion, an ultrasound, and present the gospel?
What we do is we advertise ourselves as totally medical. We don't have the baby plates, you know, saving babies and any of that on the back on purpose. And our name is Life on Wheels, but we do business as Image Clear Ultrasound, which is what the big logo is on the side of the bus. And I'm not sure if you can see it here, but that's on purpose. That's on purpose. I mean, and I'm starting to see some of the pictures of it. And there's a reason why we do that. We don't want them to think that we're going to judge them or have preconceived notions about who we are and what we do. We don't dog them. What we do is we accept them on the bus, and it's purely medical. When they come on, the only screening we do is they can't have already been to a doctor, because we aren't overstepping doctors.
Right.
So even if they call me and ask me where we are, I say, you know, how far along are you? I've been seeing a doctor. If they've seen a doctor, I had one like this yesterday, Dr. Clark. I said, you know, she's wonderful, but I'm just so sorry. We would have, you know, overstepped her, you know, her practice. And so anyway, they get on the bus, and what we do is we get on an iPad, we have them fill out something called My Plan. My Plan tells us where they are without them having to tell us with their mouth. You know, are you planning to adopt, abort, parent, you know, just as boxes, you know. And then they might say, oh, I'd never have an abortion. However, you know, they don't have any support at home. They don't have insurance. They don't have. So this, we have a scoring mechanism that I don't use because I'm not on the bus. But it's 1 to 5. And, or it can be more. I'm sorry, 1 to, I think 15. Anyway, they might tell us they're not abortion-minded, but we've got all these risk factors, and she might tell us she never had an abortion, and 5 and under is not abortion vulnerable, and she might be an 11, you know. So we know what the factors are that are influencing her, you know. And so after she does that, then she goes to the bathroom, does a urine pregnancy test, which the medical person oversees. And while she's in there, our client advocate, who is the volunteer, is looking at what her issues are. Maybe she doesn't have, maybe she needs Medicaid. Maybe we need to connect her with Medicaid. Maybe she doesn't have transportation. Maybe she, there's no telling. Most, our target women, the women who have abortions, who are abortion-minded, are between 20 and 29, mostly between 20 and 24, and they already have a child. And so that's who we're looking at. It's not, I think a lot of people think that women who are having abortions are, you know, these young teenage girls. That's really, I think it's less than 10%. It's mostly 20 to 29, maybe 20 to 24. And so we know all this, and we're looking at this. And, you know, 89% of women who've seen their own baby on ultrasound will choose to parent, even if they were planning to abort. So when she tells us what she's going to do, we aren't arguing. We're not talking about it. She does the pregnancy test. If she's pregnant and she's far enough along, then she can have an ultrasound. When they have the ultrasound, we don't talk at all. We don't talk. We've got it on a big, huge screen, put it up there. This is controversial, but if she's really abortion-minded, we turn up that heartbeat, you know, let them hear the heartbeat. And let her tell us. And you'll be amazed at things they say. They say, oh, it has a head. Yes, it has a head. Mm. There's legs. And we'll go, yes, there's the heartbeat. There's this and this. So when they come out, then the question is, how are you feeling now? A lot of what we do is listen. We cannot pound people or change their minds. We can tell them the truth. We can show them the truth for sure. And I'm believing, you know, I know when they see that picture, the Holy Spirit does the work, you know. And I always tell people, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. You know, now you know. Because when you're early in pregnancy, and most of these women are early in pregnancy, which is why, you know, they're trying to figure this out. At the abortion clinic, when it was doing abortions, most of the abortions were done before 9 weeks. Some of them at 5 weeks. How do they even know that baby's going to be viable? I mean, it's just, they're just making money is what they're doing on abortions. So anyway, this shows them, even that early on, we can show them their baby. And another thing that's kind of a misconception is they don't normally change their mind on the bus. Sometimes they do, but still we follow up, especially if they're abortion-minded. But normally they can get off their crying, they're upset, they didn't know they were this far along, now they've seen it, now it's theirs, what are we going to do? And so we get permission to follow up with them. But also at this time, right after they've seen their baby and we're giving them all these resources, you know, we can help you sign up with Medicaid, we can do that right on the bus, we can do all these things, and we say, but the best thing we can do is offer you the ultimate solution, which is Jesus Christ. And it's such a tender time to talk to them because they're ready. You know, now not everybody, you know, but many. I mean, we've shared the gospel just hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of times. And I always tell our workers, I say, you know, it is not our job to bring them to Christ. It's our job to tell them the Holy Spirit is doing the work, you know, and so as long as we do our job, which is sharing the gospel, you know, the word says one man plants, the next one waters, and that gives the increase. We have had, let me see here. I brought you these because my highly technical record.
Yeah.
I thought maybe y'all would want to see what's happened since 2017. And this is, I like to have my numbers with me all the time because I just... But I, let's see here if I've got the tools. So I gave you an overview. I think it's, I just did this yesterday and I should have put it down, but I believe since we started, we've had 314 professions of faith. And I can tell you we've shared the gospel a lot more than that, but like I said, that's our job is to share the gospel and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And we also have Bibles. Luke Phillips and Baptist Hospital give us Bibles. And we have recovery Bibles, Spanish Bibles, ESV, New Testaments, you know, and so it's, and then we also even, you know, give them the YouVersion app on their phone,
yeah.
You know, because that, it's always with everybody. If you've got that on your phone. But that's what we do. We share the gospel. It's funny. Sometimes it's not the woman who comes to Christ. It's the person who brought her, you know, either her boyfriend or husband or mom or brother. We've had a brother. I mean, you don't know who God's going to bring wow. with them, you know, but it's certainly, oh man, it is such a open. I mean, the harvest is there. I mean, it's ready, you know, just, you just have to share and tell them. And this, I don't know that we knew this when we first started, that this would be such a time when they would be open to the gospel. But I may have told this to y'all before, but when we first started and we were, the first day we were out, the first lady that came to us, we were just praying somebody would get on the bus. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have a bus, you don't know if anybody's going to get on. And so she got on. We were so excited. She drove up and said, can I help you? And she goes, well, I have an appointment with the abortion clinic. And at 11 o'clock, I think she said, for a pregnancy test. I said, do you want one for free? She hesitated, and I said, you can take the results over there if you want to, because this is America, and you can. She said, okay. So she went and parked in front of the bus. I said, we'll park right up there. So I went and got her, and I walked her to the bus, and she got on, and we're all like, yay! You know, so excited. It was raining out there. And I mean, she was on there for so long. It seemed like so long. And finally, she got off and waved, and, you know, and I went up to the door, and I said, tell me what happened. They go, she went pregnant. I was like, she had a negative pregnancy test. I said, what? And they said, but she'd never heard the gospel. And so there you go. You know, that kind of set the tone for us. And that, it was either that night or maybe two nights later, I think it was, that Matt and Lou Phillips came over with boxes of Bibles and put them on the bus, and we've had them ever since. Because, you know, it's part of what we do. I just didn't know it would be such a big part, you know, that God would open the door for us like that. But that's how we share the gospel.
What kind of resistance do you have or feel from the people that work at the abortion clinic? Or is there any sort of...
Well, the abortion clinic is pretty much closed down. They still, what's the resistance we're kind of getting is next door, the Powerhouse, and Power is some acronym for women's rights and people's rights and gay rights and black rights and every kind of rights. And they posted pictures, which you can see. If you look at Powerhouse, this is so... I didn't realize what it was until I enlarged the picture, and I'm like, ew! Okay, they've got big signs that say pro-choice information with arrows pointing there. And then it says Plan B and condoms. So I see all these baskets in this picture. They've got the baskets out on the porch. And the baskets are Plan B and condoms and lubricant. I'm like, really, really? Is this what we're doing right here on South Perry Street? Mm. But we still got our street advocates out there, and they're passing out cards, and, you know, women are coming to us like, I mean, Nancy Trumbull is one of our street advocates, and she sent me her numbers yesterday. She handed out 29 cards in an hour and a half. You know, so we're still seeing people go by, and we're still seeing them. We have police with us, which is a big part of our budget, but is a very important thing that we do. Because, and see, right on the corner across from us is the probation office. And when it first started, we got some sketchy people coming to the bus, but our police are all over. They are all over that. You know, nobody, and word has gotten around. And so the police keep their eye on the street advocates, which are right there, you know, on the street, and also on our bus. So we don't have.
And see protesters.
Well, when we did our prayer out there on that Thursday, you were there, weren't you, Tom? No, the celebration prayer, were you not there?
No, I was not.
Okay. The one girl that runs the abortion clinic came and backed into the parking lot and turned on her music as loud as she could, but, you know, again, and had the speaker. Yeah. We were singing Amazing Grace, you know.
Trying to battle the bands.
We're just not moved. We're not moved. I had somebody call. There was a lot of fierce stuff, you know, about Jane's Revenge, you know, that group, that terrorist group. Yeah. And I had so many people call me, and I have been careful not to put my face out there and not to put our bus out there, although we're out there everywhere, you know, but like I said, we look medical, mm-hmm. which is our intent. And in Birmingham, we have police with us every time we're out. In Montgomery, we don't have police with us unless we're at the abortion clinic. But the police are aware of where we are. They know us so well. But well, we have a prayer time on Mondays with Gwen Bradley, who's on our board every single Monday from 6:30 to 7:15, however long it goes. We pray for our whole ministry specifically, and we plead the blood of Jesus over our buses and over our volunteers and over our ministry. You know, but this is God's ministry. He's taking care of us because, I mean, how could we get to where we are with three buses and a director who didn't know anything? You know, it's just God has just blessed us so much. So
that was what changes have you seen since the other one within what y'all are doing and maybe also the clientele that are coming? Since there's not an abortion going to go, what are their attitudes?
Their attitudes are, it depends on if they're, well, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of worry about what they're going to do, but there's always been a lot of worry about what they were going to do, but more it's really making sure they make community connections. We are really, really informing them about the abortion pill. Because, see, you can order it online now with absolutely, I mean, they say you're going to use telemedicine. It's not true because we had a woman that came to one of our nurses with the abortion pills in her hand, said her boyfriend had ordered them for her, so much for telemedicine, and wasn't safe to take. One of those pills was an anticoagulant. Do you really want an anticoagulant? I'm not even medical, but do you want an anticoagulant when you're going to be delivering? I mean, there's a lot of blood involved already. And then, so we're trying to educate people and tell them, you know, and Dr. Phillips told me that in the emergency room, he met he's not delivering babies anymore, but he still is on call with his, you know, with his practice. Saw a woman in the emergency room who was hemorrhaging. She had ordered the pills online. They come from India. And, well, the doctor was in India, and then they came through California. They mailed them to her, and she took those pills and was hemorrhaging, you know. And so it's scary. I mean, it's so dangerous. So to answer your question, what's different is we're informing them more about what the abortion pill is, connecting them with resources that they don't know are there. I can guarantee you that when women come to us and they're in this situation, they don't know about all the resources. And, you know, Montgomery has amazing resources. Agape Lifeline Pregnancy Centers, Catholic Social Services, all of them have stepped up and helped our clients. You know, there's a lot of help, not to mention all the churches, all the places that we can offer them support, just the nonprofits. And I think that's a big part of what I do is making sure that we connect with all these nonprofits and know where we can send our people to a safe place, you know, to somebody that's pro-life. Not all nonprofits are pro-life. So you have to vet them, you know, gently, but you do. But yeah, there's a lot more fear, a lot more worry, a lot more hurry up. I need to do this right now, take care of it, go someplace, you know. I think, right now, I'm trying to think of the closest place. I think Illinois. Georgia still hasn't really gotten away from total abortion yet. You know, the heartbeat bill and all that. Still, there's legislation going on. But most women are not looking to travel. Now, they'll say, I'm having an abortion no matter what, you know. But they're just upset and angry at that point, and they feel like they don't have any control over it, you know. And so what we do, we're a calming influence. I like to think that we're a place where they can come, sit down and just take a breath, you know, without people telling them, you should do this, you should do that. We do have a book, though. It's a real glossy magazine. It's a little bigger than this and more professional than this. And it says, Before You Decide. And it just tells them how each abortion procedure works, what the side effects are, what they can expect. Because I promise you, nobody's telling them that. Mm-hmm. You're telling them they've lost their rights, but they haven't told them what's mm-hmm. going to happen when they actually do that. So we're educating. And then a whole bunch of what we do is follow-up. I mean, if you ever look here, like on follow-ups on any of them, you see so far this year we've seen 540 clients. Well, we followed up 1,233 times. And the way we follow up is with mm-hmm. the phone on the bus, texting. Sometimes they call us, but a lot of it is texting, and then they call us, you know. And we're just finding out where they were. But I got an email the other day, I didn't know what she said. This is so-and-so. I'm Bethany's mother. I'm sure you'll remember me. This is the sonographer's. I said, does anybody remember? Because I got on the bus. And she was one who was like, I'm having an abortion, right? You know, that's it. You know, and her mother was like, yes, we're taking care of this. And then she said, we have an appointment with Dr. Dugger on the 13th. So, you know, you have to give people a little room to just vent and breathe and think about what they just saw, you know, and just show love to them. You know, that's what they need. Somebody that's just caring about them. And then I'll just say this. Our mission says that we use the power of ultrasound to serve women, save babies, share Jesus. I always tell our volunteers, we do it in that order. When they get on the bus, they don't go, do you know Jesus? You know, they are scared and worried, you know, and so get on, we show them concern. We serve that woman. If you serve that woman well, the baby's a package deal. That's mm-hmm. it, you know. And then that opens the door, you know, for a relationship to be able to share Christ, you know, because they know we care about them, not just, you know, telling them you know, you need not to abort your baby. That's not, mm-hmm. You don't need to tell, they know the truth already, really. And if they don't, we're showing it to them. Mm-hmm. I used to have a boss that said to me, you know, our job is to help people think. They already know, but we need to help them mm-hmm. think through. So I think that's a lot of what we do. There are still some women who choose to abort. And when they do, we still follow up. Dana was telling me that in Birmingham, she called one of the ladies, and the lady said, well, you're not going to want to talk to me. You know, I had an abortion. And she goes, of course I want to talk to you. You know, that woman's going to need more support than anybody when she finally comes to it, if she hasn't already. So.
Yeah, any other questions?
Yes, question. The people that actually come wanting an abortion, if I'm looking at this right, only about maybe 5% actually change their mind. Is that right?
Oh, no.
I just saw this number change, and I didn't know what that meant.
Well, let me tell you. Okay, yeah. And you'll see 000 change, and then you'll see, like by the month, you'll see. Let me see here. Change decision 15. Look at... The way you can kind of tell it is pregnancy tests. Let's look at mid-year 2022. Clients seeing 460. That 540, what that means is we saw 540 of them, but 460 of them were first-time clients. Okay, because we have people that come back to us. One of the things that we do, one of the tools we use is we say you're really too early. Why would you pay for an abortion when you can't even see if it's a viable pregnancy? Yeah. That sounds cold, but that's what we say to them. Because if they're abortion-minded, you know, we say, why would you pay money to abort a baby that might not live anyway? You know, 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. Sometimes women don't even know they're miscarriage because it's so early on. Because, see, we're seeing women at 5 or 6 weeks. They've got apps on their phones that tell them. You know, sometimes at ASU, we used to, because we go to ASU in the fall, they would say, I had sex last night, or Sunday night. Can you tell me if I'm pregnant? You know, I'm like, let us check here. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
What's the earliest that you do it, though?
If they're abortion-minded, we'll do ultrasounds at any point. Because earlier we've done it 5, which is not really, they're not going to see anything. Right. But what we're able to do is say, see, you can't see anything yet. Let's wait until we can be sure you can see. And that's why we do it.
We need to bring them back.
Yes, yes. And that's why you see that number, 460, but then you see 540, you know, all those girls came back. All right. Pregnancy tests were 461. 405 of them were positive. All right. We did 426 ultrasounds and 400 of those, planned to parent. All right. So there's 26 in there that are still somewhere in the process. All right. Follow-ups, 1,233 Bibles. You see that. Change decisions so far were 15. It looked to me, I can't read them. I'm kind of 15 or 16. We will go a month or two and see no change decisions. And then we'll follow up, keep following up and find out that they're going to a doctor. You know, like I said, they don't tell us right then. And even if they do, if they're abortion minded, we don't trust that because we have called women back, who told us they were going to keep their baby and they've got an abortion scheduled because their boyfriend beat them up or, you know, their parents said they'd kick them out or, you know, whatever. So you have to, I have a friend, Ingrid, her daughter's a neonatal nurse. And she said, you know, when you're sure they aren't going to have an abortion, when they're holding the baby in their arms. There are states that will abort up to delivery. New York and New Mexico. For sure. So until you're sure, you know. Professors are saying 22 so far this year. 22, we present the gospel 228 times. I tell my volunteers, don't get discouraged. That's your job. That's your job. Referrals, 1597. What that is that's like to pregnancy centers, to Medicaid, to doctors, to all the you know resources that are available. Educational materials. I keep track of these because actually we got a grant from the Central Alabama Community Foundation, which Bethany said to me, how did you do that? That I talked about educational materials. And what that is, that's all the flyers, all the pamphlets, all the brochures that we give on that before you decide book, healthy pregnancy, miscarriage, ectopic, you know, anything. We do not like to Alan's point, we do not like to do ultrasounds too early because when they don't see anything, then we have to give them the information about ectopic and miscarriage, which kind of scares them. So you kind of have to balance it. But if they're abortion minded, then you have to say, well, let's go ahead and do what we can do right now, you know, and keep them from taking the pill or going somewhere else to have an abortion. Did that kind of answer your question?
Oh, yeah.
Not really. We see more than 89% change their mind. More than that. Ours is really, I think when I did it for our barbecue last year, it was like 93% change their mind of ours or choose to parent. I should say choose to parent. Yeah. But we don't, it's weird. In Montgomery, we don't see that many who say that I'm having an abortion. In Birmingham, they will tell you flat out, I'm having an abortion. So I told my workers, I'm not sure if they're just more honest in Birmingham because they're still having, you know, they were still going to the abortion clinic at that point. So you just can't assume. What we look at is the criteria on our My Plan that tells us where is she vulnerable? What does our experience tell us happens to women like this that are in these situations? And what can we do to mitigate that situation? Mm-hmm. You know, because we've never, ever, one time ever, had somebody come and tell us, I'm so sorry I had my baby. What they do is they bring their babies to us and show us, you know, oh, you saved my baby. And our answer is, Jesus saved your baby, yeah. But we're so excited, yeah. You know. Yeah, so that's how that is.
All right, well, I think that we've gotten some of your prayer requests here. Is there anything else other than, you know, I know you're looking for what did you call the position?
Mobile operations manager.
Hopefully one will work out here, but you're still looking for one in Birmingham. You know, besides these prayer requests, are there anything else? We're going to just go to a time of prayer that we can lift you
with. We need for our mobile, we have three mobile units, and one of them has been in the shop off and on since March 23rd. It's just, maybe I made that date up. I think it was in my head, though. they have had Ford engineers come down. They've done all kinds of stuff and tests, and we need that mobile unit back. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a main thing. And really, we need volunteers in Birmingham. We need them all the time, but we have way more here than we do up there. And I think the other thing I would say is I just pray for boldness for our volunteers, because you need to be able to tell these women the truth in love, you know. And that is the primary thing, is that we do love them. We're not trying to, you know, boss them around. We're trying to save them from a life of regret.
So that's that. All right. Well, I can open this up, Tom. Would you like to close? Sure. Anybody who wants to pray?
Thank you.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for Robin and Life on Wheels and the lives that she's touching, Lord. We just ask that you will continue to put your hand of protection around them, volunteers, the medical staff, Robin, and all the different locations where they take these mobile units. Lord, we just pray that you will prepare the way and go before them, and praise your name for the protection you provided so far, the police that are there protecting them, Lord. We just ask that you will raise up volunteers, especially in Birmingham, Lord. We just ask that you will touch people and lead people to Robin and this ministry that is so important, especially right now. But we ask that you will help them get the mobile units back on track and repaired and serving people again, Lord. We know that you can bring the right person to repair that and make that happen, Lord. But we just thank you for the lives that she is changing and the Life on Wheels is touching, Lord. We pray that you will continue to bring people to them and away from the abortion clinics, Lord. We just ask that they will be led there and hear the truth, Lord. We lift this all up in your name.
Lord, I do thank you for Robin and her excitement about this ministry and just sharing with us what's going on and for the many years it has been here and the impact that it's made. Lord, I'm just so, I guess, convicted that we need the truth. The world needs the truth. You are the truth. But the complications here, this, what's going on in the abortion world, not only killing babies, but just the leadership in our country, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes to what's going on. And I'm not educated enough to know about the pill, the damage that can happen there, and just all the different things that are going on. So give Life on Wheels the ability to educate our people with what's going on here, and also to educate our people about why they need Jesus and why they need that eternal life, and that's what we're here about. So, again, Lord, I just thank you for the time, thank you for our sharing, and thank you for what's going on. It's so encouraging to hear that this ministry has a huge opportunity to make a difference, and Lord, that you would use them in that way. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Father, I just thank you so much for Bobby. Thank you for his ministry, Life on Wheels, as it's in the communities here, Father, we just pray that they would be able to raise up the mobile operations manager and bring in that person to come forth for them. Well, we certainly thank you for the recent court decision and display. That opens up so many opportunities, Life on Wheels also gives them more directive and being able to be a resource. All those women that may have wanted to have abortions, they'll give. Pray, Father, that they would be great resources and that people are coming to know you more and more because of that. Pray, Father, for all those kids and all those children that be born. Mm-hmm. to raise them up. And all those families.
Dear God, we witness to the glory of God. You change people's hearts and minds. We pray that the Holy Spirit will move in more people's minds to avoid abortion and save lives. We give thanks for Robin and all they do to witness to the glory of God, to get people to save lives. Oh God, we pray that all the many misinformation that goes out about Roe versus Wade and the reversal, and that we can see changes in the general public's mind about how vital it was to turn over Roe versus Wade. We pray that you'll move in the minds and hearts of Americans that have supported Roe versus Wade. What a bad decision it was in the first place, many, many years ago. We pray all this in Christ's holy name.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time as well and for this ministry and just the great opportunity it has to speak into the lives of women and perhaps the men as with those women as well. Thank you for Robin and her leadership. Thank you for Matt Phillips and many, many others who are so much a part of this. The volunteers, the drivers, and the sidewalk counselors, and just those smiling ladies, very friendly, welcoming. They're the face of the ministry in so many ways. And yet you've used all of this to bring women to faith, to bring women to carry their babies to term, and just we thank you so much for this, Father. We pray that this will continue even as we celebrate Roe v. Wade being overturned, and yet just we know that until abortion becomes unthinkable, our work continues for this, and we have a long ways to go with that. We pray that this has already been prayed, that you would change hearts and minds and draw people to you. I pray for those in this powerhouse. Just, in a sense, the face of the opposition, the face that Satan would use to destroy lives. And Lord, I pray for heart changes in the people there. And pray for this ministry as it continues, that you would provide for this bus and whatever the things are that are hindering it from being on the road, that those issues would be resolved and that it would be able to be out and about manned with volunteers as well. I pray for sufficient volunteers to continue. We know this battle is not over yet. And for those volunteers, just to have hearts of grace, kind words, gentle words, and yet boldness in what they say, in presenting the truth, presenting the gospel. Lord, just thank you again for this ministry and that you continue to use it to build your kingdom in this way. It's in Christ's name we ask all of these things. Amen.